Good morning. Wow. some things regressed while I was gone. Good morning. Guess who's back? Back again. My name is Gary Anderson. I serve as the pastor here at Midtown Fellowship Granny White. It is a joy to be with you this morning. I just want to say thank you for allowing me to have a little bit of a break this summer. I have been off of preaching for 4 weeks. That was not my decision, though I wholeheartedly supported it. That was a Midtown decision, and I just want you to know that was an incredible gift to me and to my soul. I want to say thank you to all of the preachers. They're not here, but you can tell them that I said this, who covered while I was gone, Evan and Brant and Elliot and Dave and Randy. And I think that's all of them, but if I miss someone, I apologize. I also just want to speak just want to say one thing. For those of you this morning who are like, must be nice to be able to take 4 weeks off of your job. Like, I know I have sat on the other side of the pews from a preacher, and I know kind of some of those questions that stir inside of your soul. If I could just say something about that, it is. Would recommend it. So thank you for that. We're continuing in our series. I came back a little spicy this morning, so buckle up, everybody. Buckle up. Come on. We're continuing our series in the fruit of the Spirit this morning, and as we started off, and I believe we continue to do while I was gone, we are going to recite the fruit of the Spirit together. We are all going to be the scripture readers. I know the goal up front was for us to memorize it, and I just want you to know we got a few weeks left in this series, so that goal has not been taken off of the table, but I believe this morning that we have all of the words for you to recite together. So if you will stand, we are going to read Galatians 5, 22 through 25 together. It is the fruit of the Spirit and then a little bit of the context after that. So if you will say these words with me, which should be up on the screen, when they go up, we'll start saying them. Galatians 5, starting in verse 22. Ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can stay standing. I'm going to pray, and you can stand for the prayer, and then you can sit down when I preach, all right? Will you pray with me? God, thank you once again for this day. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this time. God, we ask now that you would quiet our hearts before you. I pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit in this place. We know that you are with us. I pray that you would allow us to see that you are with us, to hear that you are with us, to taste that you are with us, and to taste that you are good. I pray, God, that you would give us more of yourself this morning. We need you more than we need anything else. You actually are the only thing that we need. And I pray that you would give us yourself this morning. I pray that you would allow us through the supernatural power of your Holy Spirit to set aside distractions, to set aside things that would draw our eyes and our ears and our hearts away from you right now. I pray that you would allow us to sit at your feet and to be with you. I pray that you would fill my mouth with your words. I pray that you would speak to your beloved sons and daughters this morning, God. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can be seated. Thanks. I recently was in a conversation with someone who is actually a part of this church, and they asked me a question, which I have been asked before, and so I have an answer, like a standard answer that I was ready with, and they asked me in so many words, how do you define success? And what I said in answer to that question was, I define success as faithfulness. And I don't know if you have ever been playing golf and hit a really great shot, and have just kind of stopped to admire how beautiful that shot is as it leaves the head of your club. I haven't experienced that very many times in my life, but every once in a while I have. Or maybe you have, you know the feeling when you finish mulching your yard in the spring? And it just, it looks so good, right? It will never look better the rest of the year. And you just kind of, you step back for a minute to admire what a beautiful thing you have done. When I was asked that question and I gave the answer of I define success as faithfulness, what I kind of did was just step back and admire what a beautiful answer I had just given to this question of success. And I'm sure, like, my guess is many of you in this moment are sharing that admiration for the profundity of the answer to that question. And see, the problem is, what this person asked me next was, what does that mean? And I said, well, you know, obviously, faithfulness. They didn't share in my vision of how profound that answer was without a little bit of explanation. See, when I was in seminary, one of my professors one day in class talked to us about what success in ministry looked like. And what he said was it wasn't about numbers, it wasn't about accolades, it wasn't about achievement, it was about faithfulness. And in that moment, I was like, that is awesome. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I want my life to be marked by. And so since that moment, when I have thought about what does a successful life look like, I have believed that a successful life, as far as God is concerned, is a life of faithfulness. But what I realized a couple months ago when I was put on the spot to answer that question is I don't have a good explanation for what that actually means. And so the fruit of the Spirit that we are looking at this morning is faithfulness. And we are going together, gonna work out, what does it mean to be faithful? What does biblical faithfulness look like? And basically here's the outline for the few moments we have together that we're gonna talk together about faithfulness. I wanna try to answer three questions. What is faithfulness? Why be faithful? And this is not good English, but it just it makes it fit really well with the other points. How be faithful, right? Okay? What, why, and how? You can fill out the rest of that question however you want. What is faithfulness? Why be faithful? And how do we be faithful? And I think faithfulness in this list of 9 fruits of the Spirit that we are studying together this summer, I think it kind of occupies a unique place in this list of fruits of the Spirit because this is just my opinion. I think it's the most churchy of them all. I think most of the other fruits of the Spirit, they translate outside the church pretty easily, like love and joy and peace and patience. And like our world has a context for most of those fruits. Faithful, what is really the only context outside of the church where you hear about faithfulness? In a marriage, yeah, faithful or unfaithful in a marriage. But I also believe that it is not an accident that Paul tells his friends in the church in Galatia and then everyone else who's ever had the New Testament since he wrote that letter, that it is one of the 9 things that we get when the Holy Spirit indwells our lives, because faithfulness is the definition of success in the eyes of God. So let's lean into that together. Let me just say one more thing to help frame kind of where I'm coming from as we talk about faithfulness. I try and write my sermons on Thursdays. Early Thursday morning, Beth and I were walking the dog. And as most of you know, I've been out for a few weeks, haven't preached for a while, felt the weight of that re-entry this week. I don't know how re-entry from vacation is for all of you. Generally for me, it's a little bit bumpy coming back to real life from being away from it for a little while. And I was telling Beth this week as we walked the dog, I was like, I am not ready to write this sermon. My heart is not in it. I don't even really know what God has for me in this sermon. And she turned to me and she was like, Gary, you have been wrestling with faithfulness for a decade. You're gonna be good. And I was like, that's why I married you. And so I know some of you know know our story, and I try not to just like repeat it over and over and over again, but it's also like, this is who I am and this is what I bring to this role. But 10 years ago this summer, after studying business in college and spending 11 years in the marketplace, we blew that life up to try and follow what we believed was the call of God on our lives. And really at the core of that whole deal was a wrestling with what does it mean and what does it look like to live a life of faithfulness. And I don't say that to say I've been wrestling with it for 10 years and so I have it figured out, and I'm just gonna bestow on you all of the knowledge about faithfulness that I have learned over the last 10 years. I am still deeply wrestling with what does it mean to be faithful and what does it look like to be faithful, maybe even more so now than ever in the last 10 years. And so I actually am super excited to go on this little half-hour journey together this morning of what does God mean when he talks about faithfulness? What is it? Why does it matter? And how do we do it? So to do that, I just want us to look at a couple of verses that will be familiar to some of you in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. So if you have a Bible or if you have a device, if you have neither, we'll put it on the screen. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. I'll give you 10 seconds to get there. This is what it says. This is Joshua speaking to the people of Israel. We'll talk about the context after I read the verses. He says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So as we come to those couple of verses in the book of Joshua, the trajectory of God's people, the story of the nation of Israel is that they have spent 400 years in Egypt. God, through Moses, has delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. Moses has led the Israelites wandering in the desert through the desert for 40 years. Moses brings the Israelites right up to the edge of the promised land. He's not allowed to go in. Moses dies there on the shores of the Jordan River. Joshua, God is like, Moses is dead, next man up. Joshua, Moses' right-hand man, steps up to become the leader of Israel. By God's power and leading, he leads them across the Jordan into the promised land, and they begin to take over the promised land as God has promised them. Timing is not exactly sure, but we believe, I think, that as we read these verses in Joshua 24, it's been about 5 years since the Israelites have entered into the promised land. They have substantially conquered most of the promised land. Joshua is about to die, and these are his final words to God's people. And this is a clue both biblically and I would say in life, final words matter. The last things that people say are important. And as Joshua is about to die and Israel is about to settle into the promised land, can I just summarize these two verses for us in two words? Joshua says to the people of Israel, be faithful. Be faithful. And the reason I want to look at these two verses as we look at this idea of faithfulness or this fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness is because I think they help us understand, at least in part, some aspect of what faithfulness is or what biblical faithfulness is. So what is faithfulness? The Old Testament word for faithful is aman. It's the word that's used here in verse 14 when it says, serve God in all sincerity and faithfulness. The root of that Hebrew word has to do with like supporting a structure. It's the same word that is used for columns that hold up a building. It refers to like a strong foundation. When we come to the New Testament, the Greek word in the New Testament for faith or faithful or faithfulness, and the word used in Galatians 5:22 in the list of the fruits of the Spirit, is a Greek word that is pistis. and it means faith. It's used like 250 times in the New Testament, and in virtually every instance, it is translated as faith. In a couple of places, it is translated as faithfulness. So when we say, what is faithfulness? One of the first things I want us to see is that faithfulness is related to faith. And I know a lot of you are like, duh, right? But I was like, that's actually a really, really important thing for me to remember, and I didn't make that connection. Faithfulness flows out of faith. Faithfulness is the result of faith. And so what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is loyalty, steadfastness, or commitment that flows from a faith in something, or if I can add, or someone. Faithfulness is loyalty, steadfastness, or commitment that flows from a faith in something or someone. But here's what I want us to see in these two verses in Joshua when he is saying to God's people, be faithful. He draws out a critical aspect of what faithfulness means, and it is this. Just listen to the words that I'm gonna highlight as I look at we look at these two verses in Joshua 24. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Faithfulness is not just a mental assent to something that we believe. Faithfulness implies action. That's what I want us to see as we look at these couple of verses in Joshua. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to do something. Put away the gods. Serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. Those are all action words. And when the Bible, not the Bible is God's word, when God calls us to faithfulness, he is calling us to action. He is calling us to do something. Now the question is, what is that? What is it that he is calling us to do? One of the great blessings of spending some time away and taking some time away as a family is I have experiences that help as illustrations for sermons. And so a few weeks ago, my family and I had the opportunity to go to Colorado, and it was awesome. I love the West. I love the mountains. It is beautiful. It was like low 70s and like 1% humidity every day. It was a lot like here, except the total opposite. But we got to spend a few days in Breckenridge, Colorado. And one of the things that we did there is, well, one of the big things in Colorado, and many of you will know this, is there's like, they get real excited about 14ers, right? There are 58 mountains in Colorado that are higher than 14,000 feet in elevation. And those are called 14ers. And we had a couple days in Breckenridge, and one of the easier 14ers is in Breckenridge. It's called Quandary Peak. And if you could know how many times I made the joke about this is a real quandary while we were climbing that mountain, you would be appalled. My family was too. But we were like, let's try it. Let's see if we can, let's try and do a 14er as a family. And so we did. And it's like, we're like the Bad News Bears, right? It's like we had got L.L. Bean school backpacks, and like, you know, my kids are wearing sneakers with no tread on them. And it's one of the easier 14ers, but it's not an easy hike. It's almost 8 miles round trip, and it's 3,200 feet of elevation change. Start at about 11,000 feet, finish at about 14,200 feet. And we all went, and I felt pretty good about the older four in our family, but we got an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. And one of the things we talked about as we started off that hike, that's the royal we. One of the things I talked about as we started off that hike, as I was like, and this was like my most best dad motivation stuff, is I was like, listen, you can always take one more step. Like, you can always take one more step. And I got that because I used to do CrossFit. Have I ever told you that I used to do CrossFit? And when I used to do CrossFit, one of the coaches used to always say, you can always do one more burpee. And I was like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I don't want you to say that anymore. But they were kind of right. And so I translated it to my family as we're about to start this like epic hike. I was like, you can always take one more step. And that was kind of the mantra. And I think the kids today call it glazing, but my little kids are not in this service. And I just need you to know, I got an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they crushed it. They did 7.5 miles. It took us 7.5 hours. Undoubtedly, it was the most challenging physical thing. Those little legs, their legs are small. Their steps are a fraction of what my steps are. And it was slow, and there were a lot of breaks, and there were a lot of snack breaks, but they just took one step after another. And I was like, that is faithfulness. That is what it means to be faithful. It is to take one step after another, after another, after another. It is to have a vision, it is to have a goal, it is to have a calling, and even when it's hard, and even when the air is thin, and even when your legs hurt, and your lungs hurt, and you're hungry, and you're tired, you take one more step in the direction that you have been called. And if you think there was not a spiritual component to that day on that mountain for my family, I want you to see this picture that we took on the trail. Jesus was on the trail with a little sign that said, keep going. Like, that is faithfulness. And so what does it mean to be faithful? It means to take one more step and one more step and one more step in the direction that you have been called. Listen to me. Every single one of us has a calling of God on our lives. I will get back. We're going to come back to that in a little bit because I know some of you right now are like, I'm not sure that's true for me. It is true for you. Every single one of us has a calling of God on our lives. And to be faithful to that call is to simply put one foot in front of the other over and over and over again. When you don't feel like it, when you don't want to, when it hurts too much, when you're not clear where you are going, faithfulness to God, the fruit of the spirit of faithfulness is to take one more step and one more step, and one more step. I was watching a sermon this week by a preacher named Crawford Loritz. He talked about faithfulness. It wasn't the point of his sermon. It was like in his introductory remarks. And it was like, I was like, that is so good. I paused YouTube like 4 times so I could transcribe what he said about faithfulness. This is what he said about faithfulness. He said, gifts, talents, and abilities are overrated. But faithfulness has its own marketing strategy. Its own brand. You just keep showing up and God compounds the interest and you just keep walking, keep doing the right thing and God has a way of putting wind in your sails. What is faithfulness? It is one step after another in the direction that God has called you. Okay, so what is it? Why be faithful? Why does it matter? Because there's, even me as I'm talking about it, and I'm sure some of you have been around church for a while, it would be real easy to take the attitude of like, look, it's all covered by the blood. As long as you accept Jesus into your heart, you're going to heaven. Why do we have to be faithful now? What is the benefit of faithfulness? Why would Gary say, what is success? It's faithfulness. Why? Listen, and I want you to like listen really, really clearly to me here, because what I'm about to say is not going to sound like Presbyterian Reformed theology, but it is as true as the day is long. It is as true, right? It's just true. Why be faithful? Because there's a reward. There is a reward for faithfulness. Why be faithful? Because what we do in this life matters in eternity. And there are some theological streams that have crept in where we begin to believe that everything here is going to hell in a handbasket and God's gonna remake everything and everything's gonna be new. And that's not good theology and it's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus is coming back to make everything new, but he is going to restore what has been broken by sin to newness. And what we do here, I know like I'm a child of the 90s. Gladiator came out at one of the most like pivotal moments of my life, and I had the movie poster in my college dorm room, and the tagline for the movie Gladiator was, "What we do in life echoes in eternity," and that is really good theology. Why be faithful? Because there is a reward on the other side, and I want that reward, and I want you to have that reward. And if you're like, are you just making this up? The answer is no. Matthew chapter 25, and also in Luke chapter 19, we get two versions of the same parable that Jesus told. Time does not permit us to read the whole parable, but it's a story about a ruler who goes away on a trip. And when he leaves his servants in charge of what? His kingdom. And he gives to each of his servants talents, which literally was money, but figuratively, for our interpretation of that story, it is resources, it is gifts, it is abilities, it is things. And he left. And when that ruler comes back to his kingdom and he asks his servants to give an account of what they did with the things that they had, do you remember how the story goes? One servant got 5 talents. And he made 5 more talents out of it. And what does what does Jesus say? What does the ruler say to the one who had 5 talents and made 5 talents more? He says, "Well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You have been what? Faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And then he goes to the one who he gave 2 talents to, and he says, "Look, I made 2 talents more." And what does the ruler say to him? "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And then he goes to the one who got 1 talent, and the guy with 1 talent didn't do anything with the thing that the king gave to him. And how does the king respond? "You wicked and slothful servant." Verse 28, so take, this is Matthew 25, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And like, there are all kinds of crazy interpretations about what that parable means and what it means for us. Really simply and really clearly, the king has left us to work his kingdom while he is gone. And when he comes back, the question will be, did you build your own kingdom or did you build my kingdom? And for those who are found to have built the Lord's kingdom, what is the answer? "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." There is a reward for faithfulness, and I want that reward. And I want you to get that reward too. And here's the challenge. I don't think our struggle is with the concept of faithfulness. I think, and this is a little bit different than a lot of the other fruits of the Spirit, I think most of us get faithfulness. And I think most of us are pretty good at it. And if I can just circle back to Joshua for a minute before we come back to our neighborhood and our living room, what is the context again that Joshua is saying to the followers of God? Serve God in sincerity and faithfulness. The Israelites spent 400 years in Egypt. They spent 40 years wandering the desert with the presence of the living God with them for 40 years, providing them food, providing them water, leading them by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, protecting them from their enemies. They've now been in the promised land, we think 5 years, and this ragtag group of former slaves, children who have no experience in war, have taken over the promised land. We're 445 years in, and Joshua has to tell them, stop serving the gods of Egypt. The prophet Ezekiel says for 400 years, the Israelites served the gods of Egypt while they were there. So here is what Joshua is saying to God's children before he dies. He is not saying, you need to figure out faithfulness. He's like, you've got faithfulness figured out to the wrong thing. Choose this day whom you will serve. And if I, again, I know I've been coming in a little hot from vacation, I don't think we're that different. I know a lot of you. I know me. We're faithful people. We are very faithful to our careers. We are very committed. We are very loyal. We are very steadfast when it comes to our jobs, our bosses, their expectations of us, and our careers. We are very faithful to our hobbies. We are very faithful to golf and tennis and pickleball and, I was gonna say horseback riding. I don't know why that came to me in that moment. I'm sure there's someone in here committed to horseback riding. I guess it just felt like tennis and golf and caviar. I don't know. We are very faithful to alcohol. We are very faithful to our vacations. I mean, some of the vacations are we are very faithful. And ultimately, what am I saying we're very faithful to? I heard someone whisper it. You can say it out loud. Ourselves. I think I'm quoting Dave Burden when I say, I love me some me. I am very, very committed to myself. I am very loyal to myself. I am very faithful to myself. And you know, I haven't talked about it yet, but you don't think I forgot. What is the subtitle of our series this summer? Life in the Spirit, subtitle, Summer at War. Because every follower of Jesus Christ has a war raging inside of them between the Spirit of God, which has come to indwell them, and the flesh, which is opposed to the things of the Spirit. And the war of faithfulness is not to learn what it is to be faithful. The war of faithfulness is to be faithful to the right things. And may we be a people and a church who can say at the end of our days that we were faithful to the one that mattered. That we built his kingdom and not ours. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning, but I just want to have some real talk. There are a bunch of Christians who are going to get to the end of their time this side of eternity and come to the really devastating realization that they were faithful to the wrong things in their time on this earth. May it not be us. And why is it a fruit of the Spirit? It's not a trick question, because we can only do it by God's Spirit working inside of us. The only way we take one step after one step after one step in the direction that God has called us is if we got his Spirit working inside us to push us along in that direction. But just like all of these other fruits of the Spirit, Dave said it 4 weeks ago in his sermon on peace, which I listened to like probably five times. If you guys have not heard that sermon, I highly recommend you go back and listen to it. Yes, it is a fruit of the Spirit. Yes, we cannot do it unless the Spirit is inside of us. But we have a part to play in all of these. One step after one step after one step in the direction that God has called us. Which begs the question, the last thing I want to talk about, how. And there's probably a bunch of you right now, because I feel this in my own heart. That's like, if I knew what God's call on my life was, then I would be faithful to it. If God would just show me what his will is for my life, if God would just tell me what he wants me to do, then I would know what to be faithful to. And my first response to that is, really? Would you? I was here for the 10:30 last week. Brant talked about the rich young ruler. I know a lot of us know that story. You know what the rich young ruler was saying to himself before he met Jesus? If God would just tell me what to do. If he would just show me what to do, I would do it. And God showed him, Jesus showed the rich young ruler what to do. And what was his response? Just kidding. I actually don't want to do that. But I know there's a whole bunch of us who are like, if God would just tell me what he wants me to do, if I just knew what direction he was calling me, if I just knew what his will for my life was, if I just knew what he wanted me to do, then I would do it, then I could do it. And I have good news for you this morning. He has shown you what his will for your life is, and I can share it with you right now. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man or woman, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? What is God's will for your life? What is the vision that he has put in front of you? What is the call he has on your life? What is the 14er in front of you that he is calling you to climb alongside him? It is to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with him. And I know if you're like, well, what does that actually mean in my day-to-day life? You got to talk to God about that. But the thing about that call on your life is that you can do it anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances. You can do that in a good job or a bad job. You can do that in sickness or in health. You can do that in plenty or want. Not gonna go there right now. You can do that in contentment or discontentment. You can do that alone, single, married, with a family, without a family. It supersedes any of life's circumstances. What is the call on your life? It is to love, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That is faithfulness. That is success. And where, we're going home on this, where does Joshua root that call to the Israelites? Where does he find the confidence to say to them, you need to be faithful to God? It is because why? Because God has been faithful to them first. Just one chapter back, Joshua chapter 23, Joshua says this to the Israelites, verse 14, and now I am about to go the way of all the earth. Listen to this. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. Joshua is like, even when you were faithless, he has been faithful. When you look in the rearview mirror of your life, God has fulfilled everything that he promised he would do for you. So the call is not to be faithful in order to get something from him. The call is to be faithful in response to the faithfulness that he has already poured out on you. And what was true for the Israelites 5 years into their promised land conquest is true for every single one of us today. And I just want to say it is true for me today. I am a living, walking, talking testimony to the faithfulness of God. When we did what we did 10 years ago this summer, when we left everything we knew, when I quit my job and lost my health insurance and stopped contributing to my 401k and sold our house and left everyone we knew and loved and family and friends and moved to a new place for me to become a student again. And then went from there to literally the most expensive place to live in this entire country. And now we're here in Nashville. When we did that, we took the gap from what we could do in our lives and what needed to be done from like this to like this. And time does not permit for me to share all of the ways that we have experienced and seen God's faithfulness in the last 10 years, but can I just declare to you this morning, he has filled that gap every single time. And he has not just filled it, he has done exceedingly and abundantly more than we could have ever asked or imagined. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And if you doubt or if you question God's faithfulness in your life, can I just remind you that he took an action of faithfulness towards you already and that he sent his son Jesus to do for you what you could not do for yourself. One step, one step, one step in the direction that he has called. May we be a people who are found to be faithful. May we be a people who are found to be building his kingdom and not our own. And I want every one of us to hear at the end of our days, well done, good and faithful servant. Choose this day whom you will serve. And let's start climbing. Let's pray. God, I pray even in these moments that what will land from your words this morning will not be, I have to work harder, I have to try harder, I have to do more or do better to be more faithful. God, I pray that what will land right now is your incredible faithfulness to us. Even when we have been unfaithful, even though we did not deserve it. And I pray, God, that you would implant in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls this morning that your steadfast love, your mercies, and your faithfulness never come to an end. That this is not home, that we are seeking a city that is to come. And I pray through the power of your Spirit that you would allow us to live into this fruit that we already have inside of us, this fruit of faithfulness. May we be faithful because you are. In Jesus' name, amen.